joined. Has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Are you the first?
Well, I think I was, but I thought I heard one other beep before you. They just didn't identify themselves.
Is anybody else on besides Hannah?
Malka.
Good evening. We'll start with L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kutsha b'richu ishkin te'ibid hilu urchimu utkilu utkilu urchimu. Le'akta l'shem yud hei b'vav hei. Leyichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayihinu am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kunenei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kunenehu. The handout is available on the unique astrological times link underneath the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage. When the landing page opens up, scroll down to the Shovavim period, which is below Rosh Chodesh Tevet. And in that section, there is a Psalms landing page, number 3, that is our handout for tonight. But it's in addition to that handout. When that opens up, you'll need to scroll to Tehillim 92. And just above that are two links, one for the Machon Mamre Psalms pages, and one for Rabbi Sutton's translation of the Psalms, known as Yearning for Redemption. Please open both of those up, as we will use both of them during the class tonight. We will start with the Psalms landing page number 3, Tehillim 92. But before we get to the comment sections, we'll transfer to the
has joined.
We'll transfer to the two yearning for redemption in the Machon Mamre pages. So Tehillim 92 is sung every Shabbat by the Levites in the temple. This psalm speaks of the world that is coming, and it comforts the hearts of those crushed by suffering. The above kavanah is a traditional kavanah to use when saying this psalm. The first word is mizmor shir. And please refer to the introduction and the yearning for redemption to get a deeper understanding of the meaning of Mizmor Shir. There are 19 verses in Psalm 92. The number 19 is the gematria of the name Chava, which is the mother of life. Its English translation is Eve. It also represents the unity of male and female. This is due to the individual lack of a malchut within the male. The structure in the discussion in Kabbalah is that his wife, any male's wife, is the malchut. So she completes him. He has 9 sephirot. She represents the 10th, his malchut, that completes him, while she has 10 sephirot within her. And one of the ways of relating to that 10th sephirot is a connection to the womb. And feel free to ask questions anywhere in the class. We will start by transferring to the yearning for redemption, because for Psalm 92, Rabbi Sutton wrote an introductory paragraph, and that's where I will start reading. Shabbat is the last deed that was the first in thought. It symbolizes the seventh millennium, the world that is coming, a taste of which we savor at the conclusion of every seven-day cycle. In this psalm, which we sing every Shabbat, we jump ahead into the future, to the great Shabbat, when Hashem's oneness and sovereignty will be fully revealed. From that high vantage point, we contemplate history. There's a lot of items to contemplate in that paragraph. Essentially, this psalm is describing the world that is coming. It's describing each and every Shabbat. It is connecting to the physical world of manifestation, which is Malchut, all of which is represented by the word Shabbat. And there is much, much more. The first paragraph, the first verse, reading from Tehillim 92 in the Yearning for Redemption PDF. Mizmor shir liyom ha-shabbat. If you're not used to it, most of the Ashkenazi synagogues sing a tune to this. Mizmor shir liyom ha-shabbat. Mizmor shir liyom ha-shabbat. Mizmor, mizmor shir liyom ha-shabbat. Rabbi Sutton's chant translation. A chant, a song in honor of the Shabbat day. But you'll notice that there is no word kavod, which would be translated as honor. And he didn't change the font in that translation. The literal translation is mizmor, which means a song, and shir, which means a song. But they're two different types of songs. And that's why Rabbi Sutton calls it a chant and a song. Liyom means to the day or teach the day. HaShabbat is not just Shabbat. Because you don't have the hay in the word liyom. So the fact that it's stating HaShabbat, which is the definite article of the hay, and that hay then is meaning the Shabbat, as opposed to any Shabbat. But within the Torah, HaShabbat represents the evening or the seventh day of creation. Now, I want to see, just check out the Nechon Mamre translation to see if there is any the translation for from the Mechon Mamre is a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. And it is conceivable that the letter Yilamet associated with Yom, the Yom, can be translated, frequently is translated, with the preface word for, F-O-R. Now let's look at verse 2. Tov lehodot l'Adonai Yohewahe Adanu yo Yohahe dawanu heyo Uzamer l'shimcha elyon. That's not the chant or the tune that's associated with most of the Ashkenazi background. It's just what is feel right. It feels right to me right now. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, which is Hashem, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. There are six words in this verse, and we know that that's connecting to Zeranpin, to the letter Vav of Hashem's name, but it is not unified with Malchut. There are 27 letters, which represents all of the vessels, all of the things that were created in the universe, is all connected to the 27 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. I would like to point out to you the difference in the vowels. In the first word, in the first verse, the first word is Zamor, which is, as we've talked about it, it's one of the 10 types of songs. In the second verse, the fourth word is Ulzamer. The Vav is a prefix and, A-N-D. The Lamed can be translated as four or two, but it's essentially a prefix letter. It can also mean teaching. But you look at the word Zamer, the same letters except for the Vav. And the Vav is acting as a vowel in the first verse. It's missing in the second verse, but you have different vowels. And the translation is essentially saying praises, sing praises. But praises aren't really in the word, unless the word, the change of vowel from a verb, meaning a song is being sung, of an action word, to a vowel, to a noun. And that's the difference of the vowels. But the translation in the Mechon Mamre is saying, sing praises. So it's saying that since Zamer with those vowels is a noun, if the English wouldn't make sense if we said, and to praise, although it would if we said, and to praise thy name, Hashem, or O Most High. But here it's adding the word sing. So what is the purpose of adding that word sing, which isn't a noun, it's an action word. So it's really a very confusing connection between that. Now let's take a look at the Rabbi Sutton's translation of verse 2. It is good to thank you, Hashem, and to cut through the barriers that obscure your name, O Most High. This is a very different translation. Has very different meaning. The cutting song comes from the idea of the zamer, or the zamor. As we said, you'll find out in the introduction of the Yearning for Redemption PDF, zamer is a cutting song. That's the word that Rabbi Sutton uses repeatedly. The idea of the cutting is separation. And that's why Rabbi Sutton translated it in this way. The third verse. V'hagid baboker chasdecha v'emunatcha. It is good to recount your loving kindness in the morning and declare your everlasting faithfulness during the darkest nights. And there is a note, number 113, which is at the bottom of the page. Rashi, the great commentator, adds, to recount your kindnesses in the morning at the time of the redemption, and declare your everlasting faithfulness during the darkest nights, even when we suffer the tsarot, the trials and the sufferings of exile, which is likened to the darkest darkness of nighttime. For we have faith that you will keep your promise to us. Let us look to the Machon Mamre, verse 3, the English translation. To declare thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness in the night seasons. There's no word for seasons here. The word is balelot, in night, or with that vowel, it's in the night. But it's plural, in the nights. There's no reason to add seasons. And what is the meaning of night seasons? Verse 4. Ale asor. Ale Nabel, Ale Higayon Bekinor, with an instrument of 10 strings, and with the psaltery, with a solemn sound upon the harp. These are 7 words connecting the unity of Zerantin and Malchut, the spiritual with the physical. And 27 letters, which we've discussed. Let's return to the Yearning for Redemption and see what verse 4's English translation from Rabbi Sutton. It is good to rise up to you with the asor, which is a 10-stringed harp, to rise up to you on the notes of a lyre, to meditate to the melody of a harp. Why would you need 3 different instruments, all stringed instruments, and they're all different? I think we all know what a harp is. It's essentially a stringed instrument in a triangle. A lyre is an eight, it's either a seven or an eight string instrument, like a guitar, except it has a deeper belly, so its sound is lower. At least that's my guess and my understanding. But the word asor, which comes from the word eser, which means 10. So you understand why it's considered a 10-string harp. And that is an ancient instrument. They used to make guitars 10 strings. Now they're made 6 strings. But why was it 10 strings? Because it connects to the 10 sephirot. Verse 5. We're on yearning for redemption. Ki simachtani Adonai Yohe Wahe Adan Yu Ada Nu Yo Yo Ahe Da Wanu He Yo Befa Lecha Bema Se Yadecha Aranen. In this way, you cause me to feel the mental delight that comes from contemplating you. Through your works, Hashem, perceiving your presence behind your handiwork makes me rejoice. You'll notice there's a lot of words being added, and you can tell that through the difference in the fonts. The smaller fonts are the words that Rabbi Ash Sutton has added. So let's look at what the Mahon Mamre. For thou, Hashem, has made me glad through thy work. I will exult in the works of thy hands. You can see that the Mechon Mamre is a more literal translation. Seven words. And 30 letters. The number 30 connects to the letter Lamed, connecting to teachers. Teaching. So you can see how Rabbi Sutton uses gematria to give him an overall feel for the letters rather than the direct literal translation. Verse 6. Magadlu masecha Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yo Ahe Yo Meodam Kumach Shivotecha. How great are thy works, Hashem? Thy thoughts are very deep. In Kabbalah, the word meod, we are taught, which is used on the second day of creation. Actually, it's the third day of creation. That is the manifestation, the creation of the Satan in the negative system. So while most people just think it's an enhancing word saying, it's translated as very, meaning more than whatever it's modifying. But in truth, it's a connection to the negative system. Now let's see how Rabbi Sutton handled it. Thus, during the week, I become aware that the wonders of your creation are truly great. Hashem, on Shabbat, I realize that your thoughts concerning mankind are so very deep. You see how Rabbi Sutton avoided connecting the Satan to this verse by his translation of the word truly instead of very. Verse 7. Ish ba'ar lo yeda, uksi lo yavin etzot. A person who refuses to use his mind fails to grasp this. One who perverts his own intelligence is incapable of comprehending this. What do you think this verse is referring to? What is the this? Let's look at the Machon Mamre translation. It's a very different translation. A brutish man knows not, neither does a fool understand this. Every time you see the et, your mind as a Kabbalah student should go to the idea of the Shekhinah, because that's what it represents, all of the letters of the alphabet. The word brutish is really coming from the word ba'er, which is with evil. As we know, the Machon Mamre is a more literal translation, but the real issue of this is, what is it referring to, Brooke? It's saying that less cultured people truly cannot appreciate the greatness of the work of Hashem, the creation itself. That's what the verse is referring to. It's speaking back to verse 6. Verse 8. Bichroach reshaim kemo esev v'yitzitzu kol poalei awen lehisham dam adead. When he sees the lawless thrive like grass and those who act wickedly prosper, it does not dawn on him that they are merely generating and hastening their own eternal desolation. What Rabbi Sutton is translating as eternal is the phrase ade ad, which is I'm looking, I forget the word. It means eternity, but it's an idiom. It's not a literal translation. Ad de ad would be witness my witness. In the Gematria, the phrase ad de ad is 158. And as 158, it can be parsed into 100, representing a stage of completion. And 58 is Noach, meaning comfort, or chen, grace. So eternity is the completion of the hidden wisdom, the completion being the revelation. Verse 9. Now we need to look at what the Machon Mamre translation of verse 8 is first. When the wicked spring up as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. This verse is essentially saying and commenting, why do good things happen to wicked people? The verse is telling us that Hashem allows this to happen so that He will never have to deal with them again. He lets them have their good life in this physical world, because in comparison to the good life that we receive in the endless world and we receive in the later worlds, the other worlds, the world that is coming, the comparison is like night and day. Verse 9. But thou, O Lord, art on high forevermore. But you'll notice that there's no on high like there was in the earlier verse when it spoke about Hashem as being the Most High. There are four words. And 16 letters. The 16 letters connects to the male letters of Hashem's name, the Yud and the Vav. But the four words, and Marom, I believe, is the direction of west. So it's really the translation is not clear. In Rabbi Sutton's translation, but the truth is that you will remain forever on high, Hashem, and your overriding plan for mankind will not be deterred by their wickedness. And this translation has nothing to do with the four words, as you can see from the difference in the fonts. 10. Did I say earlier there were 16 letters or 19 letters? I thought I said there were 19 verses, but there's actually 16 verses, so I'll need to make that mistake, that error corrected. But the number 16 connects to the male letters, the sharing letters of Yud Hey Vav Hey, the Yud and the Vav. Verse 10. Ki hine oyevecha Adonai yohe wahe adanu yo yoahe dawanu heyo. Ki hine oyevecha o yovedu yitpardu kol poale awen. Indeed, your enemies, Hashem, indeed, those who oppose you will perish. All who act wickedly will disintegrate and be forgotten. In Melchon Mamre, the translation, for lo, thine enemies, O Lord, thy enemies, Hashem, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. There's a big difference between being scattered and perish. One of the ways to think about perish and why this, what is the energy that's being expressed by this verse, very important energy. We think of atoms, A-T-O-M, as coming together and forming molecules, and then the molecules form compounds, chemical compounds, and eventually they all become part of a whole, part of a human, part of an animal, part of a rock. But what is the perishing? Atoms never get destroyed. They just change form. They change shape. The perishing is they had come together in one shape, one molecule, one compound, and they then disintegrate back into atoms. But atoms never die. They never change. They never disappear. They are always immortal. Verse 11.
Watarem kirem karni baloti b'shemen ra'anan.
But my horn has thou exalted like the horn of the wild ox. I am anointed with rich oil. This sounds like a king, doesn't it? O Hashem, with the light of the great Shabbat, you lift up my fallen horn like a proud antelope. You inject the oil of eternity, of eternal newness into me. Six words. Zerantin, without Malchut. Twenty-five letters representing five times five, which represents a form of completion. We've discussed 25 a number of times in the past. Verse 12.
Vata bedeni bishurai bakamim alai mereim tishmanaznai.
My eyes will yet see the downfall of those who watch for mine. My ears will hear of the defeat of the wicked who rise up against me. The Mechon Mamre translation, mine eyes also has gazed on them that lie in wait for me. Mine ears have heard my desire of the evildoers that rise up against me. There are eight words which connect to the world that is coming, to Bina. And 36 letters connects to the 36 candles of Hanukkah, or the 36 tzaddikim. Verse 13. Tzaddik katamar yifra erez bavanon yizke. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Let's see what Rabbi Sutton did with this verse. The righteous will flourish like date palms. They will rise up high like the cedars of Lebanon. Why do you think that Rabbi Ashlag refers to the tamar, the Hebrew word tamar meaning a palm tree? Why do you think he refers to it as a date palm? It is a date palm, because palm trees grow dates. But there are other kinds of palms, and we need to recognize that and use that. There are six words in verse 13 which connects to Zeranpin without Malchut. Verse 14. Shetulim bebet Adonai yohe wahe Adanu yo yohe dawanu heyo Bechatzrot Eloheinu yafrichu. Planted in the house of Hashem, they will blossom forth into the courtyards of Elohim. This is a verse that is connecting both names, Hashem and Elohim. It's using them differently, but it's an effective use of that combination. Turn back to the Mechon Mamre. Just so I can get a sense of the what we missed because we didn't recognize the two different names. Verse 15. Oh, you knew the Seva Deshenim Berananim Yehiyu. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and richness. Six words. Letters. What is the metaphor here? What is going to bring forth fruit in the old age? Is it the palm tree, the date palm? Or is it people being planted in the house of Hashem? Is it the righteous that it's being referred to, which is what I think it is? Let's look at the Yearning for Redemption translation of verse 15. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will remain full of resilience and newness forever. We don't really have the word forever in the verse, but Rabbi Ashlag's translation is metaphorical. Verse 16. V'hagid ki yashar Adonai Yoheh Waheh Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Hey Yo Suri Willow Avlata Bo. The pronunciation of the word includes a vav after the ayin, between the ayin and the lamed. In its written form, the vav is not present. The translation, they will declare that Hashem is upright and straight. He is my strength. With him there is no injustice. Do you see the word tzedek anywhere in verse 16? It's not there. So where does injustice come from? The idea of no injustice, the idea of lo, is there. But where is the word for justice, which is typically tzedek? I'm sure it's the olata. But I don't truly understand it per se. The Makom Mamre, the translation, is reasonable, you know, similar to Rabbi Berg's, Rabbi Sutton's. Eight words, which connects to the world that is coming. This, remember this, Well, I haven't told it to you yet, but this verse was written by Moshe, and it's connecting to the idea of the exile ending. Eight words. And 28 letters connects to the power, the Hebrew word koach, power and strength. That's the end of our class for today. It's only part one of the way we handle the psalm. We'll read the commentaries next week, the Leinader, and we'll also do the Hebrew sequencing where we read all 16 verses in order. So I bid you all a good evening. I thank you for joining us. Does anyone have any questions? As I speak about the four classes for tomorrow, we will have a morning prayer at 7 a.m., morning study, We will have at 2 o'clock or at 11 o'clock, 11 a.m., we will have the basic class number 17, I believe it is. And then we'll have a deep Zohar at 4:30. And at 7 o'clock, an essay by the Ari. So I wish you all Shavua Tov, a beautiful week, and hope to see you tomorrow. Does anyone have any questions? Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Shavua Tov.
Shalom.
Shavua Tov. Shalom. Hey, Shavua Tov. Thank you.
Thank you.